Thank you so much, Paddy, for the lovely introduction and for providing us with another Telesummit. And I'm really honored to be opening this Telesummit. And I think we are all very grateful that Barbara Scher's work is being continued and that we have access to her inspiring ideas and insights. My name is Johanna Filippi. I have a master's degree in Nordic philology, psychology, and education, which translates to scanner. My Barbara Scher credits are, I was in Hanging Out for 2 years, I took the Refuse to Choose book club, and I was in Write Speak 2017. For a job, I'm counseling people who are looking for jobs. I do relaxation classes, I'm a writer, and a person with many creative hobbies. Maybe some of you know me as Jana Lindberg, also with my blog, which I founded for the 2017 Telesummit, and it's a blog on scanners and scannerisms, my personal interests. It's jana-lindberg.de. Some articles are in English too. So I always wanted to be a writer, and a few months ago I co-authored and self-published a practical guidebook on high sensitivity and mental health. It's only available in German, so for this talk, it's not so much about promotion for the book, but for offering you practical strategies for thriving as a highly sensitive person for you to take away, so, or if you know highly sensitive people, to learn about them. The first, when I was 17 years old, I took a trip to Greece with people from my class and a class above. We traveled by train and by bus, and I had saved money to go there. So I really wanted to go there and see Greek temples and landscapes, and I liked the people in my group. But turns out I was frequently overloaded, super nervous, like sick. And one evening, for example, when everybody went to the lake, the only opportunity to take a bath in a lake or sea or something, I stayed in the hotel room because I couldn't stand it any longer. Always being with people, I was totally overstimulated, and I absolutely didn't understand myself. Would I have known what I know now, I would have defined myself as highly sensitive, and I would have read books, and I would have explained to people that I'm one of those 15 to 20% of the people who are highly sensitive. But of course I didn't know that back then, because the first book on that matter was published in 1996 by Professor Elaine Aron. And Elaine Aron had done similar experiences. She says she hid away from the chaos in her family when she was small. She cried a lot in university when she studied psychology. And it was only in psychotherapy that she discovered that sensitive was a thing. Because once her therapist said, oh, but it's clear you reacted that way because you are highly sensitive. And she said, what does that mean? And the therapist said, well, I'm highly sensitive. Many of the people I like are highly sensitive. You are. They're just different. And Aron said, are they? And she started doing interviews. And then her husband, a statistics professor, started doing studies with her. She developed that question thing that's all around the world, and the concept of high sensitivity has been scientifically processed and researched from the very beginning. Elaine Aron managed to balance herself and find out about high sensitivity, and through her work, the world has changed for sensitive people now. So, what is high sensitivity? Perhaps you've heard phrases or said phrases like, don't be so sensitive, or you always need special treatment, or pull yourself together, or toughen up. In stressful situations, we unfortunately often repeat such dialogues in our thoughts. But when we look at the research, just such statements are inappropriate and they are wrong. Because living beings are sensitive to stimuli, differences in the sensitivity are normal. They are found in 100 or more animals, and in all countries, and in women and men alike. So there has to be a group of people who are more sensitive than the others. And there is. Like, the first studies showed it's 15 to 20%. And now they find it may be up to 30%. 30% people who are more sensitive than the average. And what does it mean? According to Elaine Aron, it means you just sense more, you process more thoroughly, and you're more aware of stimuli. And maybe you until this point thought it's there are sensitive people and not sensitive people, or maybe you thought there are sensitive people and normal people. But meanwhile, they found three groups. The first group, they called orchids. That term was invented for children, orchid children. They're colorful and bloom wonderfully, but need a certain environment. Then there's, and they're 31% of the population. And then there's a second group, it's the dandelions, and they're 29%. They're robust, not very sensitive. And then they found a new group. It's 40% of the population, and it's the tulips. They are quite normal, normally sensitive, if you will. And they found genes that have been identified that lead to increased sensitivity. So in case someone thought it's a hype, it's not, because if we are 8 billion people and it's 15 to 30% highly sensitive people, they 1 to 2 billion, that's not overrated. So we have to take care of the problem. We have to take care of highly sensitive people. So first kind of exercise, just ask yourself, if there is orchids who are more sensitive, 70% of them are introverts, but not all of them. They might be low sensation seeking, or they might be high sensation seeking. Then there are the tulips that have different sensitivities. They might be sensitive to some stimuli and not to others. And there are dandelions, which are robust. Which group do you think belong? Do you belong to? Just take a note. Maybe if you will read more about the topic, you'll estimate differently, but that's the first little sensitivity type exercise. Of course, there are traits like ADD, ADHD, autism spectrum, and highly giftedness. They come into the game too. It's important to find your own individual mix and act accordingly. So, part two, navigating stress and mental health as a highly sensitive person. I'm from a very lively family of highly sensitive scanners. Lovely people, sensitive people, helping people, and committed to their social environment. And we were stressed a lot. So there was high stress levels, frequent emotional contagion with negative feelings. And from my youth on, I asked myself, what's wrong? Why is that? And from that on, I try to understand myself and other people who are like that and restore the ability to have a good life, even as a highly sensitive kind of special need person. And that's the point from where we wrote that book. Because high sensitivity really is a double-edged sword. So I have good news for you and bad news. Start with the bad, as usual. We are more receptive for stimuli, for good and for bad stimuli. So if we grow up in good nurturing environments, we are resilient, we thrive with sensitivity, we might be especially creative or gifted for music or especially empathetic for people. But if we grow up with lots of stress, with neglect, with mental illness around, or even in a trauma family, we are more affected by it than normal tulip sensitive people. And studies show we're more prone to develop mental illnesses as well. So the point that we have shortened telomeres when you are under constant stress, and that's really bad news. But highly sensitive people benefit more from counseling, from therapy, and from every bit of self-care, more than people with normal or robust sensitivity. So for example, sensitive teenage girls who received counseling had much more lower depression afterwards than not so sensitive teenage girls. Or in neglected children, those with sensitivity genes recovered better when put in especially nurturing care than those with normal genes. So what does it mean for you? If you're highly sensitive, you do need more self-care. But with self-care, you can thrive better. And high sensitivity, when understood and managed effectively, can be a profound gift that enriches personal experiences and relationships. And advantages are deep processing, thorough understanding and insights, empathy. Individuals are compassionate friends and partners and team members, stronger connection to nature and art, and high creativity, rich inner life. So that's something we want for ourselves, and we want to contribute that to our environment too. What can you do to thrive better as a highly sensitive person? All the things that are in the self-care list. It's like breathing exercises. It's your yoga. It's the bubble bath. But you know how Barbara Sher thought about bubble baths? It's all the creative stuff too. It's taking care for yourself, nurturing yourself. Don't be surprised if you are highly sensitive, if you need a lot more than other people. Your list is longer, and maybe you're surprised, but just take that as a given and do what you have to do. So, quick word about mental health. In our book, we have shed light on various symptoms such as anxiety, depression, sleep problems, trauma, pain. And we found that many very strong symptoms, such as nervousness, anxiety up to panic attacks, worry up to depression, are ultimately self-reinforcing processes, like upward spirals. And with the right information on that symptom, you can learn to interrupt these, and you can relearn those patterns. And then all the positive self-care measures take effect again. Sometimes you think, but I did everything I could. Okay, try something different, or maybe you need more rest, and it will work again. So I have experienced phases of exhaustion in my life many times. I was simply overwhelmed and could hardly find any rest, was unable to properly recover, I was constantly nervous. And I believe many people are experiencing something like that nowadays. So workload, mental load, financial worries, worries about the world, worries about how on earth the world is supposed to go on and so, all that. But in our book, we found that for each condition, we collected practical tools and we cut them down to 60. There are so many. And these are not rocket science, like there are exercises for mindfulness practice, cognitive behavioral therapy, relaxation, and so on. So you can collect your own tools and you can choose the most suitable to tailor for your life. You can gather information on your maybe individual mental health condition. It's all out there. There are YouTube channels like Therapy in a Nutshell or so many others. And of course, you might need therapy at certain points in your life. And if you can get it, then do it. But don't be angry for you being needy. It's quite normal for sensitive people. So, and what we really want to show is that you can always actively do something for your mental health. The information is out there. It's a longer journey, but you can absolutely make positive impacts and improve your mental health and well-being. So I come to a close with an exercise. It's an open focus exercise by Lissimi. It's a, in this exercise you can use everywhere, even if you go from your office to the bathroom. It just means that you focus on the space. So we do that exercise now. Find a comfortable position and if you want, close your eyes for a moment and take some deep breaths, taking three deep breaths is an exercise in itself, inhaling slowly through the nose and exhaling through the mouth. To begin relaxing your body, and maybe make the out-breath a little longer than the in-breath, so that turns on your parasympathetic response. And now, open your eyes again and focus on space. So take your hand before you and just look at your hand and be aware of the space from your eyes to the hand. And then take the second hand and feel the space between the hands. And then lower the hands again and look at the wall opposite of you and just become aware of the space. And become aware of the space above you. This is so simple and you can use it everywhere you go. And then continue to broaden the focus to the space around you. The room you are in, beyond the walls, up to the sky, and beyond. Feel that sense of openness and expansiveness. And after that, bring your awareness back to you. Focus back to the room, to your body sitting in the chair or on the sofa, or and focus on the present moment in the telesummit. And just reflect on that experience for a second. How do you feel different from before? It's a really tiny exercise, but it's working. So, key takeaway, if you are highly sensitive, you know what you have to do. Gather all your self-care measures. Stop being angry at yourself for needing so much, and instead double these efforts, ensuring that you are well with your sensitivity. Elaine Aron managed to find a balance, and she is doing research and teaching up to this day. She's author of novels and their scientific books, and she did so much for sensitive people. We want to give what we have as a potential to the world, and for that, sensitive people need to embrace and nurture their sensitivity so we can do what Barbara said and live our potential. So, what are, we got 1 minute left. What are your takeaways from the call, from this talk? Are there any questions?
Well, Johanna, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, this is Susie Larkin, and I'm going to be jumping in as the MC, but I did want to say I really enjoyed your talk, and I appreciated the exercise at the end because it's very relaxing, and I'm going to be speaking today as well, and I'm jumping into MC, so it's a perfect thing to do right before you speak because it calms, as you said, the central nervous system, and it produces that relaxation response, the breathing. Thank you so much for that.
Great.
I appreciate your entire workshop.
Cool. Thank you, Susie. Thanks for the feedback.